Let's go right into our weekly confession. Let's do that. Let's declare this together, the power of God's word. This word is God speaking to me. Is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. God's in his word. And I like to say this and just remind us, excuse me, as much as I can. It's when you hear the word of God, things happen. When God speaks, creation happens. When God speaks, healing happens. When God speaks, things change. So it's not so much what I am saying to you. It's not my words that are the powerful thing. What is going on in your heart when you hear the word of God, that's what you pay attention to. That's the inward witness. That's the voice of the good shepherd. And that's the voice that you get used to in church. When you go home, you'll hear that voice. When you get into a situation, you'll hear that voice, and it'll give you direction and guidance. So practice, while you're in church, listening to what's going on inside of your heart, inside your inner man, because that's where God lives. Amen? So the subtitle to this, go back to the graph. There you go. Stephen's way ahead of me all the time. Trusting God in a changing world. And I had trouble with the subtitle when I was doing it because it almost sounds like trusting God in a changing world. It almost seems like we are the ones who are on the defense. We're not on the defense. Like we're the ones who have to run and hide from the devil. Like we're the ones who have to cower in fear and back. No, no. Like I said before, we are the change agents. Amen. Trusting God while we're changing the world. That's a position that we got to take. We are not on the defense. We are on the offense. It's not the church that is running and hiding. The church has been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The church has been given the authority and the Holy Spirit to work wonders and to work powerful things into people's lives, to work the truth into people's lives. The church has the keys of the kingdom of heaven to unlock and to lock up the things that don't belong to and to unlock the things that do belong to us. To kick in the gates of hell. We are the ones on the offense, and the devil is the one on the... When we resist him, what happens? He flees. That means to run in terror. You've got to understand who you are in Christ. The devil can come, but the thing is, if we resist him, how do you resist him? By speaking the word of God. A problem comes up, a temptation comes up, and speak the word, and he will flee. That's how you resist him. You resist sickness in your body. You rise up and resist it. How do you resist it? By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I am delivered from the power of darkness, and I have been translated into the kingdom of God. It's his kingdom, and I have the keys to that kingdom, and I can unlock the power that'll kick those gates in. Here's the gates of hell, by the way. They're not out there somewhere. The gates of hell are what blind people's minds. The smoke and mirrors that the devil builds into people's thinking, their thoughts and everything. We got to be on the offense and be ready to change their way of thinking by the example that we give them. What example are we giving them? We are the change agent. Are we conforming to the problems, or are we speaking up with a loud voice, confident voice? You got to be confident. Oh, confidence. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Amen? We're the change. Look, turn with me to Psalms and chapter 37, and we're going to look in the New King James on this one. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. What kind of good what kind of good is that? What does Acts 10:38 say? Anybody? Okay. I'll volunteer. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and what? Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All. You know all means all? How many does that leave out that Jesus didn't heal? None. Everybody who ever came to Jesus was healed. Everybody. Trust in the Lord and do healing of all the oppressed. Give the word of God, a word of encouragement to somebody who's under oppression. You know, Izzy was telling us yesterday when we were at Alichka, at the church picnic at Alichka's house. We're sitting at the back, and Izzy was telling me about when he after he had knee surgery, there was a guy who came to him one day at this, I guess this club where they work out and so forth. Hmm? The health club. Health club is for a reason, man. Because this guy came up to me and says, I see you had knee surgery. Can I pray for you? Wow. Yeah! Yeah, pray. So you see, you can change. Last night, Wednesday at Healing University, Sammy gave a little testimony. She was it Walmart? Costco. And there was a little kid on a bench. And I guess he had kids the family was there, and the father was there, and this kid was screaming. This kid was in trauma. I mean, it really, you could tell. Well, Sammy just started praying for him, and she saw this lump on his head. He either fell out of the cart or fell, but he hit his head, and it was growing. So she prayed for him, and were they English-speaking people? Hispanic, okay. So they were Spanish. And she told them, get him to the hospital now. That thing was growing, and that's dangerous. But you see, look, the first thing she did was pray over that child. That's the first thing you do. Then get him help if they need it, you know, to correct the rest of the problem. But, you know, take advantage of those situations when you see somebody in the grocery store who looks like they are going through it. I mean, it's hard. Whenever you go to the grocery store, it's hard not to see somebody who's happy. I mean, you can. How many people do you see go through a grocery store just filled with joy? Especially now, when you're paying three times as much for less. But you know, that's not your problem. Inflation, stuff like that. Not if you operate in kingdom principles like Dwight's been teaching us, because you're attached to the provider of all things. You are connected with him through tithes and offerings, that you've got seed in the ground and harvest can come forth, and you can operate in that system that is better than any world system of this week. I mean, what was the stocks went down like 1,000 points. They came back the next day, 700 and some odd. But it's just signs of volatility. And they like to keep it volatile. I mean, look at the times that we are in, changing times. When I was 10 years old, if I took a sleeping pill when I was 10 years old and I woke up now, I wouldn't recognize this country. We have two candidates running for president. One of them is sane. One of them is aligned with the Constitution of the United States. One of them can actually finish a sentence without looking at a teleprompter. One of them has a proven track record of being a successful leader, a successful peacemaker, a successful manager of time, resources, and people, and he's a patriot. I want to ask you on the left, right here, I'm talking to you. Since when did patriotism become a far right thing? Let that just sit there. There's only one president, one person running for president who will stop the U.S. from engaging in war. I want to know what qualifications Kamala Harris has to be the president, to be the most powerful person in the world, the leader of the free world. She has absolutely ruined San Francisco. We have a vice president running named Tim Walz, who is a dyed-in-the-wool socialist. You see what he's done to Minneapolis? He's governor of Minnesota. Let's run that. Let's just take a look at this.
80% of our students miss less than 10 days of in-class learning.
I won't forget when you illegally banned physicians from prescribing medications for early treatment, fracturing the doctor-patient relationship. I will never forget being forced out of my job at the VA of 20 years because of the vaccine mandate.
I won't forget when you decided which businesses were essential and which ones weren't.
You shut down stores, malls, zoos, everything, and we couldn't even go outside.
I'll remember when you sent COVID-positive patients back to the nursing home, and you chose not to send them to the Bethesda COVID hospital. People died alone.
I won't forget to vote in November.
I will never forget how you closed our churches but left the liquor stores open.
I will remember how you promised us data on masks and you never showed the data.
My child can't wear a mask, and I had to pull him from school.
And I remember how you divided us.
People rioted, burned our cities, and we were not allowed to gather without them.
I will remember November.
We won't forget November.
I will never forget how you abandoned most vulnerable Minnesotans by shutting down day programs for disabled adults.
I remember when you blamed Minnesotans when your mitigation strategies failed.
I will remember in November.
You put a limit on people who could come over to your house for Thanksgiving.
I will never wear a mask again.
I will never forget what you did to me and my friends.
I will never wear a mask again.
Governor Walz, we are not the one Minnesota. We are real Minnesotans who are worried about our future.
And we will remember in November.
This is not Minnesota nice. This is Minnesota nuts.
Did you say this guy's all this Midwestern, White Valley?
Come on, this guy's a lunatic.
Sanctuary cities? Driver's license for illegal sanctuary cities for sex changes for children. And if you don't want the sex change for your kid, then the state will come take your kid away from you. This guy put tampons in boys' bathrooms. Fourth grade boys' bathrooms, tampons. He wants CRT talk. He was all about toppling the Columbus statue. This guy changed the flag of his state to look more like Somalia. What is wrong with this guy? In Copenhagen, he had a snitch line so your neighbors could rat you out if you broke his lockdown rules. This man is out of his mind. He actually went and joined the army, and then right before they deployed to Iraq, quit. And all his unit is like, whoa, bro, where'd you go? They can't stand this guy. I've never seen this guy ever try to get out of a DUI. He said he was deaf from being in the army. And then he blew a .12. Jessica, I have to ask, why did he honeymoon in China? He's been to China 30 times. That's strange.
Oh. Trust in the Lord and do good. And what does it say? Dwell in the land. What land is that? What land are we to dwell in? Who wrote this? Psalms. What land did he dwell in? Israel? Right. What was Israel? When the Jews were in Egypt and Moses delivered them to go into what? The promised land. And we know that the entire Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. In other words, the Old Testament is really the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Dwell in the land of promise. Dwell in the promises of God. Dwell in the promises. Trust the Lord and do good. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, look, I know that that sounds like that's out of touch. No, that's the reality. You have the same Spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead to dwell in the promises, to make those promises come alive in your life when you take God at His word and trust in the Lord. Trust and take refuge under Scripture's truth. Take refuge under that. Don't look at the world. Don't look at the limitations of your own life or your own humanity. Jesus didn't. Jesus was all human. But He didn't rest in His humanity and the limitations of His humanity. When you are walking in faith, you are connected to an unlimited God through your prayers, through the Word. When you speak His Word and release it in the earth here, you speak blessings over your family. You speak blessings over your job. You speak blessings over your car, over the roads that you travel. You take authority over them. You trust the Lord and you do good. And you bring healing to this world and dwell in what? The promises of God and feed on His faithfulness. You can feed on a lot of things. You can feed on the fear. Look what these people are doing. They are trying to big up this big picture that we're going to rule you. These people aren't interested in governing. They're interested in ruling. You can trace that back right to Obama, too. He was interested in ruling. He didn't care about people. I'm just going by his own words. When he said, I'm the president of the United States, I can do anything I want. No, you can't. You're limited. The Constitution limits you. So I don't want this to be a political rally. I want to get into some spiritual truth that we can walk in and live in and give ourselves the opportunity to bring change to this world. Because look, Acts. Let's go Acts chapter 5, verse 11. What does it say here? It says, great fear came. This is when the church started being who they were supposed to be, operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. Great fear fell upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest dared no man join himself to them. But they magnified the people. That means they respected them. But they didn't want to really join themselves to them because they were afraid. They saw that God is real. And it magnified the sin that was in their life. But if they wanted to, they could come to the Lord. See, and this is just it. I know Lori and I have said this before. It's, you know, our family really treats us kind of cool. Not present members speak. But for a great part of our family, just they treat you real cool. But you know, when something bad comes, you know who they first turn to for prayer? They don't dare join themselves to you. But they'll respect you. Why? Because you leave something with them that gives them something that they don't have. You give them some hope. They see that you bear up under those situations and those situations change. You are the change agent. That's what they want to see. They want the sons of God to manifest in the earth. They want to see the church come alive. They want the church, the real Jesus, to stand up. Pui. How about it? Webster's dictionary defines trust. This is the 1828. You know, Noah Webster was born again. Defines trust as confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. Proverbs 29, and he uses this. This is actually in his dictionary, Proverbs 29:5, that says, he who puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. I think that's 29, verse 25. I may be wrong. Let's go to 25. Dun, 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 dun. Yep. He who puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. Safe. If you don't feel safe in this world, you're not trusting God. Hello? Thank you for that thunderous silence. If you're not feeling safe, if you feel vulnerable, if you feel weak, if you feel like you're in trouble, you're not trusting the Lord. Because it says right here, he who puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. That does it for me. How about you? What did Jesus say, Matthew 28, verse 11? You read it on the way in here. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What's he talking about there? What brings oppression on you? He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That means burdened, overburdened, overtaxed with the cares of life, with the stresses, family things, people going through this, people going through that. You hear layoffs who come in at work, and so you start to fret. No, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me with that. Cast your burden on me. You who labor and are heavy laden with that stuff, and I'll give you rest. And then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will. This is resting of the mind when you come to Jesus. It's resting of emotions when you come. Rest for your soul. And you will find rest unto your souls. So when you come to Jesus, what do you find? Rest. Rest from the cares and the agonies of this life. Praise God. I want to go to, because we don't have much time left. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with just about everything that's in your heart. Say, oh, well, give me some slack. I need, you know. Trust in the Lord with a reasonable amount of trust. I mean, there is a world here, right, that we live in. I mean, what's a reasonable amount of sickness that I should put up with? What's a reasonable amount of fear that I... No. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know you can do that, because if you couldn't do that, it would be an unjust God who would tell you to do anything that you couldn't do. And God said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what? Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Praise God. And if you go back to verse 3, look at this. Verse 3, can we go there? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. How do you do that? How do you write mercy and truth? How do you bind them around your neck? How do you write them on the tables of your heart? Meditate, that's good. What else? Anything else? Meditate, what else? How do you write? Reading the word? Speaking the word? All of those are good, yet they're incorrect. The first thing you've got to do is deal with something. The spiritual source of your life is right here. It's right in you. Spirit. Write them on the table of your heart. Turn to Psalm 45. In verse 1, my heart is inditing. The word inditing means overflowing. My heart is overflowing a good matter. I speak of things which I have, in other words, I'm speaking about this song that I've written for the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because God has given us a jet engine on He's given us a jet engine onto how to displace our understanding with God's understanding. Wherefore let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Why? Because if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 14. Oh, there it is. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How do you get rid of your own understanding? In other words, my understanding is unfruitful. Is God's understanding unfruitful? No, it is a complete understanding of the situation that you're in. Go back to 13, please. Therefore, let him speak that speaks in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, you see what he's doing? He's tying in speaking in tongues and praying in tongues is the same thing. You got that? Let them who speak in an unknown tongue pray that they may interpret. Why? Because I need God's understanding. I need his understanding to go into my mind. I'm praying. When I pray in tongues, and I pray that I may interpret all of this so that I have understanding of this situation. Not just my understanding, but God's understanding. The Spirit of God. Look, let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Boy. Stuff is coming to me here. Verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out? Can you hear the inside of your heart when you get it? Are you listening on the inside? Does the Spirit of God, does he cry out? That's the Spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's God's inner counsel. Does it cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand where? On the top of the high hill beside the way where paths meet. Besides the intersections of life when you got to make a decision. When you're facing a problem and you are faced with a decision that has to be, this is where the paths meet. She is up on the top of the hill to see over the horizon, to see where your decisions will lead you. And he is there to counsel you and advise you on what decision you need to make, what decision you should not make, and go this way, not that way. You know at the World Trade Center, how many people escaped that thing because they heard a voice? And said, They had an impression not to go there, but go here. And they found out later that that stairway was no longer even there. And they went the right way. And so many different people were prompted to stay home from work that day. The miracle of that thing is that at that time, 50,000 people plus were in the World Trade Centers. And only 3,000 of them or 2,800 of them were killed. How about that? That's a pretty good miracle. The Spirit of God was talking. He was on the high hill telling them, giving them options. Go this way, go this way, go this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This is real. This is where the rubber meets the road. That word acknowledge, you know, I used to say, oh yeah, acknowledge. Well, what does that mean? It's a Hebrew word, yoda, and it means to ascertain, recognize, to be acquainted with, advise, and be aware. So you be aware of his presence. Be aware of his counsel. Be aware. Acquaint yourself with his ways, his will. Acquaint yourselves with his position and power. His purposes and plans. Remember, he sees the end from the beginning. And here's a revelation that I got one time. He's bigger than me. Now, if you asked me that the day before, I'd say, of course. But this was a revelation. God is bigger than me. I mean, he is immense. And Lori and I had our honeymoon on Hawaii, and I'm standing on a beach, and I'm looking at this other island. I think it was Lanai we were looking at. And I just sensed these islands were the result of the volcanic explosion and the raw power of this earth. And the God who made all of that is big. He is big. You think that's an explosion? Where do you see when the heat hits this earth? We won't be here. He's powerful. He is mighty. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. How do you get his understanding? What's a really good way to get his understanding? Pray in tongues. Speak in tongues. And pray for the interpretation. And then the interpretation will come. Sometimes I've had to pray. Sometimes the interpretation will come 2 days later. Have you ever noticed that? I remember I got an interpretation to a tongue that's, I was on my way to church when I got the interpretation, and the guy in the service didn't even speak in tongues yet. And I got the interpretation, and as soon as he spoke in tongues, the Holy Spirit, that's it. I gave it to you already. Speak it. And I did. And I started to learn with the Holy Spirit, time doesn't really matter, but when you do what he says to do, he will show up when you need him. He is there. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you will see, and he will be there when you need to see what you need to see. Praise God. You getting anything out of this so far? Does not wisdom cry out? Man, so she cries out at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Gates. You have an eye gate. You have an ear gate. You have a mouth gate to let the traffic of God's kingdom come out of your mouth and establish itself in your life. Boy, speaking is everything. You know, it says man became a living soul. You know what the Hebrews, the rabbis call that? They translated that original language to say, and man became a speaking spirit. Just like God. Oh, am I boring you guys today? My heart is inditing, overflowing with a good matter. I prepared the song for the king. I prepared the song for the king. I will write it. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Therefore, let him that speaks in tongue, in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. Start writing God's understanding on your heart. Start writing it, and then when you need it, it'll come up. It'll spring forth. Keep your heart with all diligence, it says, for out of it come the wellsprings, the forces of life. She cries out at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. You want the Holy Spirit at the entrance of your life, at the entrance of your eyes, at the entrance of the gates of your life. He says, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools. You know, God talks to fools. Praise God. If he talks to a fool, he'll talk to you. Be of an understanding heart. God, you know, he said this to Thomas. He said, Thomas, you believe because you see. Be not unbelieving. But what, in other words, he's saying, just walk in faith. Just believe. He always gives you second chances. He always understands the confusion of your heart. And he wants to unravel that. Pray in tongues. Ask for the interpretation and let him give it to you. He said in verse 6, listen, for I will speak excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. From my mouth will speak truth. What does truth do for you? Yeah. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction. And not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. Who in the Old Testament asked God for wisdom? Who was the richest man in the history of the world? See a connection there? You see, wisdom will tell you to be generous. And the resources of this world come and are attracted to generosity. They just are. Did I tell that last week about Trump? I'll tell you again. There's a friend of ours. There's a friend of ours who used to go down to a church in Tinley Park. This is 30 years ago. And one of the ushers in the church, on his way home from church, passed by this car that was on the side of the road. And there was a chauffeur. It was a limousine. And the chauffeur was standing outside like this on the outside of the limousine. And so he pulled over and stopped. He said, "Can I help you? You need help?" He said, "It's just a flat tire. AAA's coming." He said, "Well, this is Chicago. You don't know AAA. Yeah. And so he said, "Look, I'll fix it for you." And so he fixed the tire, and the guy starts talking to him. He says, "Thank you very much, da, da, da." A window opens up, and it's Donald Trump. He said, "Son, what's your address?" He said, "Why?" He said, "I want to send your wife flowers. You spent some time here away from your wife. I want to send your wife some flowers." And he said, "Just give me your address." He said, "Okay, fine." So he gave him his address. He wrote it down, sent him. Not only did he send flowers, but he paid off the guy's mortgage. "Oh, Donald Trump is such a mean person." Right. I think he has a track record that will differ. You see how the Bible ties itself together and starts interpreting itself? This is a code book. The Bible is a code book. And you've got to get the Spirit that wrote the code, and then you'll get the code. It's kept secret for you, not from you. This is something that if you trust God and believe, you will seek Him. That's why it pleases God that you believe Him. Because when you believe Him, you will start seeking Him. You're not going to seek something that you don't believe is there. Do you? I mean, it's like, what good is that going to do me now? Well, what good do you have now that you would trade off knowing God's answer? Look, you need God. He has given you abundant resources in the New Testament, but you got to use them. Any parent can give their kids resources and stuff, but if the kid doesn't use those resources, he's not going to benefit from the wisdom of his parents. That was me at one time. She knows. Because she got an earful from my father once. So Tommy just never listened to us. I mean, he just never did. And but you learn to listen. I just was a rebellious kid. But, you know, when the truth came into my life, God jerked the slack out of me. And I realized that, hey, this is real. You got to listen. You got to do what He says to do. You got to pick it up and work it. And the Word of God will work for those who work it. Just let the Word of God do its thing and take refuge under the Scripture. Take refuge under that truth, and it will liberate you. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that as we do Your Word, it licenses You to do so much. It releases Your hand to work Your wonders in our life. Lord, as we're saying goodbye to young ladies among us today, our heart goes with them. The treasure in their earthen vessels is precious to You, and You will guard and protect them. And we will rejoice with them with every triumph, everything that they meet with Your power and Your strength in their life. And Lord, we pray, Father, that for them to take advantage of all Your Word, to not lean unto their own understanding, but the tools that they've been given to gain Your understanding, Your vision, the One who sits at the high places far above the intersections of life, where You can lead them and guide them because You know what's over the horizon. You know what lies in the future for each decision. Lord, we pray that they make the right decisions, that they hear your voice, that they hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who leads them, and that they follow. For they know that voice, they hear that voice, you lead them, and they follow, and you give them eternal life. We thank you, Lord. And our children, as they enter into this new phase of the curriculum that's being introduced them today, Lord, that it be truly food, manna from heaven, into their hearts, that it light up their minds and show them, reveal them the resources that you have already given. In Jesus' name.